The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, John Bevere helps us identify our unique gifts and use them to build God's kingdom.
What will happen when the teachers in a public school go, "Oh my gosh, she has the most unique way of communicating wisdom and knowledge to her students. Where does she get these ideas from?" What happens when the medical field goes, this doctor over here, she has come up with a way of healing this particular disease that none of us ever even thought of before?
Well, I want to welcome you to Life Today and say once again, Betty's not here. I referenced yesterday that she had an urgency, a detached retina. By the way, John Bevere is here. We're going to continue talking. But I want you to know that Betty, in order for this retina surgery to heal, she has to be face down 24/7. And she doesn't necessarily have to be where you see her kneeling there on that little stool, which has a little mirror down here that lets her watch television, and she can listen or watch her. She can watch something that she wants to see. Even sometimes she finds something entertaining. She watches Little House on the Prairie and Last Man Standing. I'll come in laughing with her. But she can't look up. That's what you have to do. So I know you're praying for her. And I really appreciate that. John Bevere and Lisa are like family to us, and they've been here a lot. And we don't have the studio packed and everybody clapping like they normally would, but right there where you are, if you're not clapping, you ought to be. Because John has written a book. All the books he's written are amazing. He says, multiply your God-given potential. Now, I was so shy, nobody would have ever believed I could preach. I think I've told you, you probably heard me if you've listened over the years. I asked the deacons when I said, "God, come when he preached, do you think he can use me?" And they said, "No." And that was their flat answer. How does a guy that won't even stand up in a classroom and make an announcement, wouldn't eat in the cafeteria, ate by myself with my lunch in a paper sack because I was so shy? And then God calls me to preach. And John Bevere, I'm welcoming you. But you got to admit, for a guy that couldn't talk, God did something pretty special in my life, and I experienced this multiplication of that God-given talent I didn't even know was going to be bestowed on me, and I had no idea how God would use it. But let me just say this, and then you take off. Betty and I didn't fully understand what it meant to lose your life to find it. Lose your life in what? In my purpose. What purpose? Kingdom purpose.
Yes.
Not the kingdom we're going to.
Yep.
The kingdom, he says,
right,
it's here in us
as it is in
to
heaven.
Be built right here like it is in heaven. And you know what, though? As we got older and we began to see it and we saw how far the church became caught up in getting in that kingdom, just like the disciples were when he ascended. They wanted to talk about this one there being here. And he said, do what I'm telling you to do. Build this one. I think this is a book about getting on with building the kingdom and seeing his will in heaven done on earth. Now, am I right about that?
Yes, absolutely. Just like you, my worst subject in high school was English and creative writing. I actually scored 370 on the SAT in English. In all my travels, I have only met one human being that did worse than me on English and creative writing and comprehension on the SAT than I did.
That's unbelievable.
So when God spoke to me in 1991, said, "Son, I want you to write," I said, I laughed. I said, "You got so many kids on earth, I guess you're getting us mixed up with one another." I said, "You don't want me to talk to my English teachers." And, you know, I did nothing. And two women came to me 10 months later and said, "If you don't write what God's giving you to write, he'll give the messages someday, or he'll give the messages to someone else, and someday you'll give an account for it." And I look back now, that was 30 years ago. Now the books are in the tens of millions. They're in 111 languages, international bestsellers.
Great.
So here's a guy who couldn't write. English teachers knew he couldn't write, would just pass me so they wouldn't have to look at me the next year. And here God is saying, "No, I'm going to put something on you that's going to build my kingdom." And God does this for every single child. I don't care if you're a single mom. I don't care if you're a factory worker, if you're a dentist. There are unique giftings that God places on us. And we will never be truly satisfied until we take those unique giftings that he's placed on us. Now, mine's not in the marketplace. Mine's not cutting out tumors. Mine's writing. Mine's preaching, right? And by the way, I put Lisa to sleep the first time she heard me preach.
But she literally fell asleep while you were preaching.
Her best friend sitting next to her had drool coming out of the side of her mouth, the whole message. Okay, so God takes these gifts and he expects us to use them to multiply his kingdom. Some of those gifts we get at birth. Some of those gifts we give when he speaks to us, like with me. I couldn't write before he spoke to me. Then afterwards, I could. If you look at Akiana, she paints the Prince of Peace at 8 years old. She's got that gift right away. If you look at John the Baptist, he's got the gift to recognize the Messiah right from his mother's womb. When Mary came in, the baby leapt. 30 years later, he was the first guy to recognize Jesus. So these gifts are given, and that's why it's so important for us to have a personal relationship, because if I wasn't listening, I wouldn't have known to write. A lot of people, God has gifts in them, and because they're not spending time listening, their prayer time is consumed with talking, but they're not listening. They don't identify those unique gifts sometimes because they're not just naturally found. If you would have said to me, oh, just try writing, I would have laughed you out of the room. But because I listened to the Holy Spirit, and this is what he wants to do with all of his kids. I mean, it's amazing to me sometimes. We say, Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with you, but yet we're not very personal with him.
We only download our heart and our concerns, our will, our desires, and we don't go to really see what's your desire, what's your dream, what's on your heart.
Right.
I told you what's on mine. And you know what I've discovered? Because I only go to him now to hear his heart. He has so blessed my life and the dreams with my family and all the things. I mean, shooting in the 60s was once a dream for me. Now then, just to, you know, breaking 100.
We're talking people. Golf.
But the point is that you can have dreams, but when all of a sudden you lose your dream to see his dream fulfilled,
yes,
that's when you begin to not only experience kingdom life, but express it more freely, more fully, and with greater fruitfulness. That's what you're trying to get people to see. They were left here for a purpose.
The key to this message is something that really changed my life that, okay, I'm just going to say this. I was in ministry for years and years and years. The gifts that we have, we are told that we're stewards of these gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says there is one thing required in a steward, that they are faithful. So for years, James, I saw faithful as consistency, honesty, right? Integrity, loyal, true, devoted. These are all accurate definitions mm-hmm. of the word faithful. However, I have spoken to leadership groups all over the world, including athletic leadership groups, marketplace leadership groups. I've never, ever heard a group say that one of the definitions, one of the primary definitions of being faithful is multiplication.
Hmm.
And yet, if you look at the parable...
Not burying the talent in the ground, but...
That's where I was going.
Okay.
If you look at the parable of talents, those talents are measures of money, but Jesus is actually talking about the gifts that God gives every child. And he doesn't give them equally. Some have five, some have two, some have one. That's very clear, right? You look at the two that multiplied. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant, because you were faithful. Now, wait a minute. Because you were faithful. He didn't say anything about being consistent, although consistency will produce multiplication. He didn't say anything about being kind, about having a loving, tender heart. The only thing that he tells in this parable is the fact that they go from 5 to 10, 2 to 4. They multiplied. And so he directly equates being faithful with multiplication. So if you look at the very first commandment that God gave man on the earth, be fruitful and multiply, Jesus is applying this to our unique giftings. And James, I think, what happens if I didn't obey God to write? I look at the people, the myriads of people that have been impacted because of the obedience to write. Well, the same thing is true for a teacher who has this unique gift of communicating wisdom and knowledge. I firmly believe we are supposed to distinguish ourselves on this earth as God's people by these gifts and by multiplying these gifts. If you look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, Daniel distinguished himself among the governors and the administrators of Babylon. Now think about it. He was from this little tiny country called Israel. He's in the number one nation of the world. I mean, Babylon was, number one in the arts, education, in military, in science. here comes this guy, and he becomes distinguished. And the king interviews him and says he's 10 times smarter, wiser, more creative, and innovative than their best leaders. Now, why would these guys make it a law that he couldn't pray? Because they're scratching their heads and they're going, we don't get it. We have been trained by the finest scientists, leaders, and teachers in the world. But this guy keeps getting promoted over all of us. Mm-hmm. So they say, it's got to be this prayer thing. It's got to be something. So obviously, it gets the attention of the highest government officials who actually try to set a trap for him. Because why? Not because of what he was preaching. It's because of his gifting, his wisdom, what God had given him. And I believe when Jesus says, let your light shine, I don't believe he's talking about talking only. I think that God has put these unique gifts in each of us that when they begin to flourish, because they are supernatural. Yesterday I was talking about charis being grace. Charisma is gifts. And Paul said the only way that we have access to grace is through faith. The only way. Now, if people don't know they have charisma, how do they have faith for it? Because you can't believe what you don't know. So what the intent of this book is, it's coming from a dad's heart that's saying, I want to see all the people in the kingdom of God begin to flourish in their unique giftings so that just as Daniel distinguished himself, I believe they'll begin to distinguish himself. What will happen when the teachers in a public school go, oh my gosh, she has the most unique way of communicating wisdom and knowledge to her students. Where does she get these ideas from? What happens when the medical field goes, this doctor over here, she has come up with a way of healing this particular disease that none of us ever even thought of before. This is when we begin to distinguish ourselves. And that is when people now want to listen. What makes you different? What gives you this kind of wisdom? And now we can begin to share our faith, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and how he has gifted all of his children. I believe this will be a great, great way to bring people into the family of God.
If everybody could see their value and their importance, and multiplication is becoming the fruitful farmer. You sow good seed in broken, yielded soil. The more fertile, the more productive, the more light and water, the greater the fruitfulness. His word is water. He is light. His truth is like light. So you sow the best seed, his word, in receptive soil, beginning with our life, but then in everything, whether it's the people who are thirsty and they need clean water, or the people who are starving or malnourished and they need food. And you and Lisa started helping us 20 years ago to feed children. You helped us give water. Why? Because you knew they needed it, and yes, you knew it was possible, and you multiplied it. Like when we tell people that $30 will feed three children for months, that's staggering. But what if we all begin to do it? That's the way we've been able to save 16 million children's lives, because people multiply what they did. This is precisely what I think
it's
you're trying to help everybody understand, that every field on God's earth, his planet, heaven and earth is to declare his glory. Every field can be fruitful, beginning with a cultivated field of a receptive heart, a receptive life. Hands that sow seeds faithfully, hands that support the gospel. John, you have written here something for every single person to get. You know, I just look at the way you pull things out, like reflect. Before reading this chapter, did you see yourself as a steward? Why or why not? The gifts you've been given are not for you. They are to be given to others through you. In other words, you carry what God wants others to have. With this in mind, why is it important to steward your gifts faithfully? What's at stake? Why is it important? Because it's expanding the kingdom. It's building the kingdom. It's lifting Jesus up with a healthy body, with one head, united in supernatural unity. And when he's lifted up, he draws all men to himself. This is the role of the church, not to go to the church, but to be the church. You meet together because you love the fellowship with the brethren and the family in the presence of God and grow. But you don't stay there. You go out with the overflow of God. This, am I right? This is basically, and I'm just kind of summarizing, I just turned to that one page there and it jumped out. That's what to me, and I'm going to tell you now, I've never heard Lisa say she couldn't write and she didn't do good English. She's a great writer, too.
Yes, she is.
Both of you are really, really gifted, and you're not in a competition to see who's most gifted. You pray for her. She prays for you. You grow together. And I got to say, because I am a... I told people I'm 77, I'm getting to be about the oldest guy in the church, so I'm definitely an elder. I'm an older one for sure. But I sowed seeds in your life, and you were receptive soil.
Yes.
And the seeds that I sowed brought forth fruit. And that's what everybody needs to realize. They're not only a fruitful field, they are sowers of seed. Even if they're doing it through their witness, but if they're helping you and me feed the hungry, give biblical truths to the whole world, like you've done by the millions, because people support it. John, it just seems to me, if we would stop focusing so much on going to church and getting into the next kingdom and being the church,
yes,
and bringing the kingdom of heaven here.
Well, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations.
Absolutely.
And you know that word nations means a collective group of people with a common identity. So a nation could be weightlifters. It could be dentists. It could be pilots. And I look at what he said, make disciples of the nations. He didn't say make disciples of the people of the nations. He said make disciples of the nations. Let me give you an example of that in Scripture. Jesus has one encounter with Zacchaeus. He's the chief tax collector of the entire region.
He's a hated guy.
He has one encounter with Jesus. Jesus doesn't even preach a message. He just shows up. Zacchaeus goes, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'll give him 400% back. Now, wait a minute. What just happened to all the tax collectors? Because he was operating under killing, manipulating, destroying,
well,
right?
That's good.
Now, I've gone to nations before where the guy looks at me and just stares at me at immigration, and my international director says, if you don't slip him a $20 bill, you're not getting out of here. Why does he do that? Because the president of that nation... it gets money under the table from the guys under him, and under him, and under him, and under him.
Oh,
so
correct.
What happened is the whole thing is the whole nation, that nation is corrupt, right? If you look at the nation of the tax collectors, right? Because a nation is a collective. It's not just Cambodia and Iran. It's also a nation could be all the engineers, all the professional athletes. Jesus, what happened to that whole nation of tax collectors in that whole region because of that one encounter? I believe that's what's supposed to happen with us. With our unique giftings, the way we operate, it inspires people to now change the way they operate to come in line with the kingdom on this earth.
This is a phenomenal book in the bookstores, online. We're going to send this to you if you'll just help us. And we have some other gifts to bless you with. John, because you and, you know, y'all have supported our ministry... just as we have in so many ways your ministry, but
yes.
You all have financially supported our ministry and outreach, and y'all have
for
both
20
been
years.
In the mission field. So it works. The seeds you sow are irrefutably, undeniably effective. Right now, the pandemic has not put the disease in the lives of many of these children, but the disease and the damage throughout the world has made getting food to them, getting opportunity, even having productive fields, all of that has been damaged. And now then we're being told that the starvation is increasing. Although we're right now feeding 350,000, we're being told it could increase. The need in the areas where we already are could explode. So we need the greatest outpouring of mission feeding love right now, perhaps ever. I want you to watch and listen to Peter Pretorius, who's in the next kingdom, but he impacted this kingdom with your help. And as we labor together now over 30 years, listen to his son and listen to what he shares. So important. And we are the answer to the challenge he refers to. The perfect answer.
I am an African. This is my country. I came from this land. These are my people. And when the children of our continent die, when the children of our continent suffer, when they go to bed without a meal, I suffer. I feel that pain. I feel it like they're my own children. And James, I know that you feel the same. Betty, I know that that's in your heart, because when you came here and you were exposed to what my dad showed you so many years ago, more than 30 years ago. You responded in the same way that we respond. James, I saw how yours and Betty's hearts were broken as though these were your children, as though these were your people, and you adopted the children of Africa as your own. And you went back and you asked the friends of life, you asked your friends to respond, to give whatever they could give. You described to them how desperate the situation was, and they opened their hearts and they responded. So James, I'm asking you, please, please appeal to the friends of life. Help us, James, help me to help our children like you helped my dad those many years ago, and like you have helped us year after year consistently to save the lives of millions and millions of children on this continent, our children, your children. James, please help us today. Help us to save our children. We cannot do it without you. And I know that in your heart, you see them as yours. So I'm asking you today, James, I'm asking you, Betty, please do whatever you can do. Speak to your friends, speak to the friends of life, and ask them to open their hearts and give the very best gift they can give.
Boy, I just want to say, Peter, we love you. He's in the next kingdom. But boy, he impacted this kingdom while he was here and still does. Watching me and Betty in black hair, both of us look so young, more than 30 years ago. And we've never stopped putting God's arms around those precious people that God gave Jesus to die for. And you and I, because of the love of Jesus in our heart, have been saving millions of children's lives now for so many years. Betty and I are not as young as we were then at all. Likely you're not. But all of us together have been putting God's arms around those precious people He loves so much. I don't have the ability to share as effectively as I feel like you need to hear it. The deep appreciation that we, along with the missionaries, have for your prayers, your love, and your support. To say that it changes everything for people is almost like an understatement, because the change is so dramatic now that it gives them a chance at life. And for many of these mothers, the greatest joy they'll ever have. They don't have a lot of entertainment around. Their baby, their children are their source of joy. And when that's being ripped out, only the joy that Jesus puts in our heart, that we share because of the love that puts that joy there and the grace and gift that put it there, because we reach out, it changes everything beginning now, but also for eternity, because these missionaries first reveal and demonstrate the love of God. They demonstrate the life of the kingdom of God and the reality of that King and His love. And when they demonstrate it, then it's easy to believe in the Father of the family that loves like that. And that's what you're doing. I'm telling you, you are the greatest expression. You said, no, those missionaries and what all of you all were doing, you can't do it if you don't do what God has gifted you to do, to pray and also say, I'm going to send you over there. I'm sending the gospel, not just in word, but in demonstration, because we don't just teach the word in word only, but we teach it in deed, in action. That's what you're doing. Would you right now, would you get a bank card or get a check? Whatever it takes, get it. If you get a bank card, use it like a check. But would you go online and make that gift now, or would you call that number and use that card and say, I'm making this gift. Could you give $100 and feed 10 children? We always make it clear that 30 and 50 will feed 3 or 5 for the next months. But listen to me, $100 feeds 10. And you know, a lot of you have the ability to give 1,000 or several thousand, and I'm going to tell you right now, Isaac said, James, in those very areas where we've got hundreds of thousands of children and families right now that we're feeding, we're watching more come every day because of the pandemic. James, we may be crying out beyond any time in the past even. Please help. Father, show every person not only what they can do, but what they should do. In Jesus' name. Please, we have some gifts to send you. We want to be a blessing to you, to say thank you but you really are giving the greatest gift. You're giving life. Would you please make that gift right now as God leads? Thank you so much.
Today, on top of the daily fight for life and food, families and children across Africa are now forced to deal with the challenges of a global health crisis. Because of COVID-19, food scarcity has increased drastically, and the fear of dying from lack of food is far greater than the virus itself. Even in these unprecedented times, Mission Feeding won't stop. With your help, Mission Feeding will continue to be a daily source of food, encouragement, and health for the 350,000 children counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you 40 Days of Healing Promises. This beautiful hardcover devotional will encourage you in your faith as you dive deep into the healing promises that are yours in Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a Blessings for Your Home Bowls and Tea Towels set. This set of bowls and two beautifully designed tea towels will make a wonderful addition to your home and serve as a reminder of your help in blessing others as a friend of life. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I tell you what, I mentioned Betty, and there's no question in my mind you're praying for her. And God is hearing, and we sure do love you. 40 days, healing promises, miracles of healing in the Bible. Wow. We just want to be a blessing to you. And if you help us today and you'd like to have John's book, just ask for it. This is great. It will tell you how to multiply your God-given potential, and you have so much more than you ever imagined. And thank you for helping us put God's arms around others. John Bevere, I don't have an audience out here applauding, but everybody at home is. And just let Lisa know how much we appreciate her sharing you with us today. And you know you've got our support, our prayers. We stand with you in everything you do.
I know that. And we love you and Betty. And we're believing for Betty's really quick recovery.
I'm totally agree.
You need her, James.
Oh, hey, you think I don't know? Everybody say, you go home, send Betty. Thank you so much for watching. Hey, thanks for sharing life today and God's love so effectively. It really is beautiful to see. Thank you.
Tell you how many days and nights Barry and I beat ourselves up for such a hasty decision.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.